What is happening? Welcome to the Buzz Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today, it's March 13th, and yes, we are going to celebrate baseball. Yes, celebrate, not talk about, we're going to celebrate the sport, because I'm so happy. I'm doing a live podcast right after this with David Cohn on our YouTube channel, so go to PitcherList.com/YouTube. It's for The Craft. You can go listen to that episode likely tomorrow on Friday. And I'm also putting out my ultimate draft guide for 2025 fantasy baseball tomorrow. I put out my top 100 starting pitching rankings last night, an update to that as well. So go check out all that stuff. And yes, we are launching our live draft assistant web app for PL Pro members this week. So it might be later today. It might be tomorrow. Take a look out for that. We want to make sure we get this in your hands before draft weekend. News to know from yesterday, we have Cody Bradford getting scratched with elbow soreness. He's going to be shut down for 4 to 5 days, and hopefully it returns without a hitch after his MRI did come back clean. It does mean that maybe Jack Leiter gets a spot in the rotation, could meet Adrian Hauser. It could mean that Bradford still gets it, and it could be fine. Monitor the situation. I'm encouraged to just take Jack Leiter at the end of my drafts just to see what's going on. And also the Padres are, well, they're figuring out their fifth starter. And I had assumed it would be Kyle Hart. They signed him to do it. We have not seen good things from Matt Waldron, from Randy Vasquez. But yeah, Hart is a little delayed. So that means Stephen Kolek might be the number five. He's a command arm with four-seamers and sinkers and sliders and cutters. So like four-seamers and cutters to lefties, sinkers and sliders to righties. It's fine. He had a really good ICR across the board last year with those pitches, but not really with the sweeper, which we saw axed in his last start. I wouldn't really go for this, save for your AL-only leagues as a deep play, but if he is starting out of the gate, that could be a sneaky win for your deep leagues out of the gate. I don't really want to go for this in a 12-teamer. All right, looking at yesterday's games, Casey Mize went 3.1 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Splitter was good, 8 for 12 strikes, but 9 for 21 strikes on the slider. And he was close. He got it around the zone, but not quite what you want. And I really can't go after Casey Mize until I see that slider being Old Faithful. And it's just not the play I want to make in 12-teamers. 15s, I'm fine because he's going to be pitching for the Tigers. He should be okay. And there is that ceiling for more if the slider does click in. But I am worried that the splitter will go away, not be an 8 for 12 strike pitch, right? At least he's 95, 96, which is great, throwing at the top of the zone with good extension, like 7 feet. Like, that's all good, and he's set up, but he just needs that secondary piece a little bit better. Ryan Pepio, 4 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. And yeah, he threw too many pitches down the pipe with his four-seamer, but the slider was so good to right-handed hitters, throwing it down and away. The changeup was a little more off than we're used to. But I love seeing the cutter try to get introduced to lefties. It's the spring. Not located well, but it's 91, 92, and closer in movement to the slider than the four-seamer, which is at 95 plus. That's awesome. If that cutter actually becomes a major thing to lefties, oh boy, Pepio soars. Command has always been a little iffy with Pepio. It's not as bad as many others, but it's not been something I really love with Pepio. He has been more of a rhythm guy. And it's the only hesitation I have with Pepio, as overall his four-seamer is excellent. He's low with good vert. He has good height-adjusted VA, good velocity, all the good stuff there with that good slider, with that good changeup. It's just about being a little more precise across the board, and hopefully that cutter works. Nick Martinez, 4 innings of 3 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. It's not the ridiculous vert on the four-seamer we saw in his last game, but he went sub 30% fastballs, that is sinkers and four-seamers combined, in favor of cutters and changeups against lefties a ton. And I dig that. It wasn't the best command of the two, but generally he was trying to split it in half, cutters inside and then changeups away, and I dig that. It was weird seeing very few changeup whiffs, but I think this is a good approach for Martinez overall, and I think he's working on the right things. Justin Dunn also appeared for the White Sox. 3 innings, 0 runs, 0 hits, 1 walk, and 0 Ks. He started this game. Yeah, I just wanted to mention him as a starter here because the White Sox have all these options, and I do not think that Justin Dunn is going to be a thing. He used to be way back when with the Mariners, and then he got traded to Cincinnati, and injuries got in the way and all this kind of stuff. But the curve is really a sweeper with his slider, and I'm not really into this at 93 and 3 for 15 whiffs on those two breaking balls. I don't think Justin Dunn is going to be a thing. Jose Soriano went for the Angels. 3 innings, 1 earned run, 5 It's 3 walks and 5 Ks. And he threw 5 sliders. I think the way that Soriano becomes a bigger thing, that is, we enter this year of him thinking that he's a Toby and he has a sinker that can work with a curve that works. But is there something else to really push him over the edge? It could be the slider. He only threw 5 of them, and there are 2 for 5 strikes without a whiff. And those walks are because the curveball was like 55% strike rate. And then you have the sinker that wasn't going inside to right-handers. It also lost 2 inches of horizontal run and also lost vertical drop. That's not good. We want to see that extreme movement for Soriano. It might be because it was away as opposed to inside, but not a fun outing. And I'm not going for Soriano on my 12-teamers. I'm okay in 15s, but I think we have to accept that he's likely going to be the same guy he was last year. At least that should be our hope now, because I don't think the slider is going to get better. And what we're seeing is a worse version than last year. So adjust your expectations for Jose Soriano. In Colorado, Jake Woodford and Bradley Blaylock pitched. And I just want to make the note that the Amish Mustang, that is Woodford, he might actually start instead of Blaylock. Maybe Blaylock is in the minors and they just say, hey, we have this thing Woodford to get innings. Let's just do that. Oh, I know. I might see a lot of those guys that you really don't want, like Carlos Carrasco starting, or maybe Adrian Hauser. It makes sense. These NRIs, they get the opportunity and the prospects don't, because they want to preserve innings and take advantage of this when they can. It's awfully frustrating. We have Miles Michaelis and Tekoa Roby going with the Cardinals yesterday. Michaelis went 5 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. And it might be because he threw his fastball tied for the least amount among all 6 pitches, a 13th thrown with his curveball. And I mean, that's a smart thing to do. It's a very smart thing to do. I wrote 16 pitches. I have to edit that. You didn't throw 16. You threw 6. All right. But yeah, Miles Michaelis, that's smart. You have a hittable fastball. So if I don't throw the fastball, they can't hit it. That's a smart idea. I do not expect Miles Michaelis to be this effective. The slider that he throws a lot is his best offering. It's still not enough at all. And I would not trust Miles Michaelis. Maybe in a deep NL only, if he does this and just doesn't throw the fastball as much, okay. Tekoa Roby is very interesting because he has a really good fastball on paper. 18 inches of vert, 96 mile per hour velocity, 1.7 height adjusted VAA. Those three, oh my gosh, I expect normally to be like a bad extension or something because something has to be bad, but it was 6.5, 6.6, so that's like neutral. That's amazing. The problem is I don't like his secondaries, which is a curve and a slider that really don't do a whole lot. The curve is a big guy, like 81, 82. I think it's not that great. And the four-seamer is not going upstairs. It's going down and away to right-handers. Now, 2 innings of 0 runs, 0 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks, fine. But he also pitched in after the 5th inning, right? Because Michael's won 5. So keep that in mind about the competition involved. It's just not enough for me to get in on Tekoa Roby, unless I start seeing the Blake Snell blueprint of 4 seamers up and curveballs down for Roby. Paul Blackburn went 4 innings of 0 runs, and that's cool. He also went 0 for 37 whiffs. So no, it was perfect for 4 innings with 2 Ks. We're not doing that. Joanne Cantillo, 3.2 innings. And if you remember last time out, I was really concerned about Joey Cantillo. Am I still concerned? I'll let you know after this break. 3.2 innings for Joey Cantillo. 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. Weird one, right? What happened is that Cantillo threw changeups and 4-seamers galore and down the middle of the plate. This led to 13 over 28 changeup whiffs, but guys were selling out for pitches down the middle. The changeup got hit pretty hard, so did the 4-seamer. However, last time out, I was really worried about Cantillo. The velocity was down, and he also had 6.8 feet of extension, which I normally wouldn't be freaking out about, except that the best thing about Cantillo is his elite extension, about 7.2 to 7.3, and that's a huge difference. That makes Cantillo much better with that changeup and fastball combination, and we saw it back to 7.2. Oh, that's so much better. Now, the location's, again, terrible. Also, the slider was supposed to be away is real good silencer to left-handers. Yeah, it was inside and missing inside to lefties. Like, not good. But the extension is back. That is the most important thing with Cantillo. Great, you have that. You can fix the locations because you had it before. You'll find it again. I feel good about this, especially that Cantillo has more time, as he shouldn't make the rotation out of the gate. He should be there sometime in April, I guess, because Luis L. Ortiz, Tristan McKenzie, Ben Lively, one of those three have to break for Cantillo to make the rotation. I imagine one of them will. Now, Tristan Beck showed up for 2.2 innings, of one earned run, one hit, zero walks, and three Ks. He exists. He is an option for the Giants at some point. I don't think so right away with Rupp and Harrison and Wynn and Birdsong, but Tristan Beck did start back in the day, and I imagine the Giants will use him at some point. Brian Wu gave us three innings of zero earned runs, three hits, zero walks, and five Ks. And I've wrestled a ton with my Brian Wu ranking, because if you told me that he was getting 150 innings this year, I'd feel great about it. I probably put him near my Spencer Schmallenbach spot, right? Around 20. The problem here is not that I don't expect a lot of volume. It's also that I think that he's not going to have one big injury of volume. It's not like, let's say he goes 130. It's not going to be Brian Wu for 130 innings and then he's just a flat stop. I don't think that's the case. What we've seen from Wu is there's always little things that bother him, and that means that he's constantly ramping back up in starts. So we're not getting that full six inning start, 90 plus pitches constantly, and he needs that in order to really refine the secondaries. Now, we did see 5/17 whiffs on sweepers and changeups. That's cool, and I don't know if I really buy into it, because it was with like 10 sweepers and 7 changeups, I think it was, something like that. But at least that's a start, and maybe it does carry over. However, it's really that concern of just being a fantasy manager and having to deal with that start, stop kind of thing is just annoying. And I looked at my ranking from last night. I could see myself putting him up two spots, doing some more real thought about this, right behind Sandy Alcantara and ahead of Jared Jones. But I really like Jared Jones. And I'll put him ahead of Freddie Peralta at the very least. I didn't want to change it just because it's like one rank, one spot. It really shouldn't make a big difference. And a lot of people, I think, would be really upset and confused if they all of a sudden sell this flop. So you get extra information because you're here right now. But that's the Brian Wu situation. Fastball didn't earn a single whiff yesterday, by the way. It's kind of weird. Ross Stripling also pitched on the other side of this. For the Royals, two innings of four runs, five hits, one walk, one K. I don't think he's going to stay with the team. I'm really sorry, Strip. I wanted better for you. Osvaldo Beto, this is without StatCast data, went against Ryan Nelson. And Beto went five innings, 200 runs, four hits, zero walks, four Ks. That's what we really care about, because Beto doesn't have the best control. It's not even just command, it's control. Sub 60% strike rates on both the four-seamer and sinker last year. Oh, no. It's a really good slider. And those fastballs are actually kind of hard to hit. Low ICR marks because of their unexpected movement laterally. So if he can throw enough strikes and good strikes, Beto is that sleeper that Eno talks about for deeper leagues. I'm not buying that he fixed something in this game, nor that, let's say he had this good start, that he's just going to continue on and be that way. I think there's going to be a lot of volatility with this, and I don't want to deal with it. Ryan Nelson, 3.2 innings, one earned run, one hit, zero walks, and one strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? He is not in the rotation, and I imagine he'll be back at some point. I hope that he shows us something new in that. This does not look like a line that had, hey, here's something fun and new. The games that were not even on TV, nor StatCast. Mackenzie Gore, 5.1 innings, zero earned runs, two hits, three walks, six Ks. That's kind of Mackenzie Gore right there. It's three walks, which kind of showcases the lack of strikes across the entire arsenal. And he has that strikeout potential. I wish I could buy into the Nationals helping him out more in season. We just haven't seen that from him. And I'm a little scared of drafting Mackenzie Gore. I really couldn't figure out where I wanted him there. Because I know he'll have that game of like six innings of nine strikeouts, one walk, you know, and then the next one will be like 4.2 innings of four runs, and you just hate everything. That is your hipster, headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. Brandon Walter, three innings of 200 runs. You don't know who he is, and it's totally fine. I don't think that he's going to be usurping is what I really wanted to say. Hayden Wesneski in the rotation. I don't think that's going to happen. Dean Kramer, four innings of 400 runs, seven hits, three walks, three Ks. Oh, boy. I'm sorry, Orioles, guys. Dean Kramer will have good starts, and you'll have a lot of these, too. Okay. Ian Anderson had four walks and four innings, but it was 200 runs and two hits and one strikeout. I guess he's the number five. Good luck. Is it going to be Elder instead? Maybe A.J. Smith-Shawver? But, man, Atlanta just needed to sign one other guy. Tanner Houck, 2.2 innings, five earned runs, eight hits, three walks, two Ks. Man, rough one for Hauk and really rough for Boston overall recently. I mean, with Giolito, Crawford, and Bayo all delayed already, and Hauk isn't looking great. I'm assuming the splitter wasn't working for him. Hopefully he gets back on the horse. Cooper Criswell showed up in relief for three innings of zero runs, two hits, zero walks, and four Ks. And Cooper Criswell has starts under his belt. He's gone like five innings before, right, in games last year. There was a possibility that the Red Sox go, you know what, Fitz, Priester, we're just going to let you guys work on it a little bit more, and we'll just go with Cooper Criswell. I hate that idea, too. Don't worry, and I hope Fitz just demands it, but that's a possibility, guys, especially if it's a short-term thing where they want to bring up Fitz for a long-term thing, and Cooper Criswell just covers like one start to start the year. That doesn't sound abnormal. Oh, man, I hate it all. Okay, and last but not least, we have the Minnesota Twins. Joe Ryan went 2.1 innings of four runs. I have no video or data, remember. Four runs, two hits, one walk, five Ks. So how did that happen? Three base runners and four runs. That means it's not an error. So I'm assuming it's a hit-by-pitch with a grand slam, which would kind of be Joe Ryan's MO. But five Ks, I mean, whatever. We obviously still like Joe Ryan. And Zebby Matthews, three innings, zero runs, zero hits, one walk, and five Ks. Oh, baby. I'm so happy he's back from that little hip thing or like the roll in the ankle, whatever that is. I'm happy he's okay. I have no data on it. I hope that Zebby Matthews is forcing his way into this rotation because I do not think that Chris Paddock or Simeon Woods Richardson are that great. I think it should be, it'll probably be Paddock and Matthews. That is my guess if Matthews is holding this. But if Simeon Woods Richardson is showing that he's good enough, they might do that instead. Monitor it. I don't think it will be Festa at this point. But who knows with the Twins. I think Zebby Matthews is the one I like the most. And I probably wouldn't chase the other ones. Maybe Festa if he really does impress. It could be Festa in the inside lane instead of Matthews. Just got to monitor this one. But if it is Zebby, probably would have him right before the Toby tier of the list, which I believe is tier 9. All right, that is it. Thank you all so much. And consider getting PL Pro. It's the number one way to support what we do. You get an ad-free website, but you also get so many in-season apps that are incredible. A live draft assistant tool that is awesome. A Google Sheet version that is fantastic. I've used it for years. And this web app version to make it easier for your simpler drafts. All these things and more. Go get PL Pro today at 15% off with promo code PODCAST. Go to pitchless.com/premium. Use promo code PODCAST. So you get 15% off PL Pro yearly. That is it. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.